This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Who's more likely to win more games next season, Caleb Williams or all other rookie quarterbacks combined?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'll still take the rest of the field because you know these teams don't sit these quarterbacks anymore. 2022 had 71 different ones. And 2023 had 67.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, host of NBC's Weakest Link, actress Jane Lynch. Plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. The wonderful Jane Lynch is in our green room, and she's going to come out here in support of another season of The Weakest Link. And the Emmy Award winner is going to also endeavor to find out who the weakest link on this program is. We've furnished her with some questions. I'm playing. I do not know what the questions are.
Oh, you stupid Mike.
We'll play that for her. Should we play that for her? She's already heard it in our green room. Larry David. Calling you stupid?
Yes.
Oh, Mike.
That's fine.
It's factual.
Well, it's because he didn't understand why anybody would want to get in the front seat of an Uber.
By the way, only one person on the timeline went against that.
Okay.
Because she was a driver. And okay. I get a female driver disagreeing with that's good because a male getting up front. I've mostly men drivers. So if I'm up front, it's fine.
Okay. I think it's stupid, too.
Highest rating.
Now, there's two episodes of Curb left. If you missed Larry David's appearance, please go to our YouTube page and the Rich Eisen Show collection page on our Roku platform for the on-demand viewing of our show. It's dynamite. 40 minutes worth of just laugh-out-loud hilarity. You will enjoy it. Freshness guaranteed.
No clearance needed to watch this week's
That's
episode
true.
Either.
That's true. Okay, well, it's all right. Assume tape.
Assume tape.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're going to hear from Sean Payton in a moment. But the big news here in Southern California is Shohei Ohtani is going to speak today. Now, yesterday, Dave Roberts appeared in the dugout before the Dodgers and Angels played. In case you're wondering what it looks like, there's Alden Gonzalez, who works for ESPN. That's what's coming every single time anybody starts talking on this subject matter right now. Oof. For those on radio, there's a ton of cameras that are focused right on the back bench of the Dodgers dugout.
Maybe.
I don't know where it's going to happen today. The press conference, but press conference makes it sound like press gathers, subject matter talks, and then answers questions. Unless I guess it's Kim Mulkey, which was an interesting moment this weekend, but we'll leave that aside. Alden Gonzalez of ESPN tweeting out about a half an hour ago. He will not be taking any questions from the media, I'm told. Shohei Ohtani instead will read a statement at 2:45 p.m. Pacific. So right around dinner time, East Coast time, we'll hear an Ohtani statement. And the question is, will the statement answer any of the following questions? Did you gamble, Shohei Ohtani? Because somebody who makes somewhere around $300,000, $400,000 a year got in such a major hole, needed you to dig him out of it, and the hole is $4.5 million. How do you lose $4.5 million? Did you double down on every single penny you get from your employer? Is that what happened? Did you wire the money yourself? Anybody in the bank know about it? How were you able to wire all of these large payments yourself? Why did you do it if you weren't gambling? Have you ever gambled? Did your interpreter steal this money from you? And if so, why was the crisis PR firm spokesperson that you hired or your people hired last week? I don't know if you saw Tisha Thompson's TikTok of the situation. And by the way, that's not the video on TikTok. TikTok is a journalistic term for somebody who lays out in a timeline, moment by moment, how everything unfolded. She, the reporter who broke this story last week for ESPN, gave a moment-by-moment accounting on Friday night, I believe is when she posted it, is that a crisis PR firm was hired by Ohtani's folks last week, and the individual told Tisha Thompson, you know, give me a beat. I need to get up to speed on a few things. And then the first story was, yeah, interpreter got in over his head and Ohtani helped him out. And then comes Wednesday and Ohtani now has his people issue a statement from a law firm saying he was robbed and he didn't know anything about this. And all that money came out of his account. And he just learned about it the first time when his interpreter recanted as well and changed subject matters from I'm the worst gambler ever and my buddy had to bail me out to, yeah, I did it all on my own. And then when asked, you know, basically did Ohtani, did you take it from Ohtani? And then he goes dark, doesn't answer. And then there's The Athletic, who follows up this week, this over this weekend, with the story about his online bio for the Dodgers media guide, lists him as having graduated from University of California at Riverside in 2007. And then he spent spring training in 2012 working for the Yankees as an interpreter for the Japanese pitcher Hideki Okajima. And then multiple news reports noted that Mizuhara served as Okajima's interpreter with the Red Sox in 2010. And that's where he reportedly got his first major league opportunity. And then Riverside, UC Riverside, told NBC Los Angeles, our university records do not show a student by the name of Ipe Mizuhara having attended UC Riverside. They did not respond to a follow-up question whether it was possible he attended the school under a different name. Spokespeople representing Ohtani declined to comment when asked if they believed Mizuhara's biography during his tenure with Ohtani. Multiple news reports showed that Okajima failed a physical on February 17, 2012, before spring training when he was released by the Yankees, so he couldn't have been there with Okajima. And then the Red Sox told The Athletic, quote, we are reaching out to all of you because of reports. Actually, this was a message just from the club distributed to media members Friday. We're reaching out to all of you because of reports in various outlets stating that Mizuhara worked for the Red Sox as an interpreter, which is incorrect. He was never employed by the Red Sox in any capacity, was not an interpreter for Hideki Okajima during the pitcher's time with the team. Please know that we have thoroughly checked our files to ensure we're providing accurate information. Please let's. We went through all the files here. Say the Red Sox. We turned over every stone. Please know that we don't ask a follow up question because we really did our homework on this one.
I'm so confused. The
Penske file.
Are they in the Cayman Islands with the firm?
So, and then, oh, by the way, The Athletic. This one also hit me too. The Athletic. The Athletic mentioned how. That Ohtani mentioned in the locker room yesterday he was going to be speaking today, and it was confirmed not just by Dave Roberts, the manager, but it was confirmed by these words really jumped out at me. Interim interpreter Will Ireton. So
assistant to the traveling secretary.
He's an interim interpreter. How can one get the full-time job? You know what I mean? Like, how can somebody become the Antonio Pierce of this situation? You get the interim tag removed.
And you become the full-time. Yeah.
Can't make any mistakes.
According to the team, he was Kenta Maeda's interpreter back in the day.
Nice. You know what else?
He's currently the manager of performance operations for the Dodgers. He was born and raised in Japan. So he knows the language.
But he's
the interim interpreter. I imagine, like, maybe he's got to kick some tires on Ohtani. Ohtani's also got to find out
if they like each other.
And plus, he's a member of the Dodgers organization. We assume he's not gambling.
I was about to say that would be the biggest criteria I would think.
Yes.
To not have
first
a gambling
things first.
Problem.
Here's the interview for your job. Do you speak Japanese? Yes.
Yes.
Well, clearly, when you said yes, you speak English. Yes. Do you gamble?
If the dealer's showing a 4 and you have a 16, what do you do?
I have no idea what you're speaking of, sir.
Do you?
You're hired.
Not to make light of it. I'm sure the Dodgers aren't very happy right now.
Well, still.
Do you know what a parlay is?
But this is what we need to know all these. And I think Otani's just going to basically say, you know, it's under investigation. He'll be cleared when it's all come out, when it's all done. I was just as shocked about it because clearly the play. No. The play will be he was robbed. The play is going to be he was robbed.
Well, that's been the story.
Well, they can't change it again. It's already been changed once, which has already gotten enough. Enough suspicions raised. So that's coming up later on today.
I just want to play baseball. I know. The season.
Yeah. And then the Dodgers will be just like, there's nothing to see here. He's asked and answered. It's under investigation. Yeah. He spoke. And he'll rake. Because I imagine he will rake. It's 162 games. This guy's one of the greats of all time. And I say it ain't show is all I'm saying. I would love for him to have not done a thing. But baseball says they're looking into it. They have to. But good luck to interim interpreter Will Ireton. And hopefully he will get the full-time job. Although he's already got a job. Yeah. I think he's a bridge interpreter. He's bridging to the next full-time gig.
You'd rather be a bridge interpreter than a bridge quarterback?
I don't know about that. I mean, bridge quarterback, you're going to get, you got to come up with some wins.
That's true.
Right here, Will's got one job to do, two jobs. One job to do, which is properly interpret, and the other one is just to not gamble or allegedly not steal. Not be the name the worst gambler ever. Who is the worst gambler ever? Whoever that person is. And also Frank Abagnale, who is probably ripping you off at the bank.
Frank Abagnale Jr. Is he a junior?
Okay, pardon me.
Yeah. Two little mice fell in a bucket of cream.
That's what I mean. That's Frank. His dad was walking.
Okay, look at you.
First mouse quickly gave up and drowned.
I cannot believe we're talking about this. I cannot believe
it's crazy.
Nor can the Dodgers, I'm sure.
Is he an interpretation manager? You know, is he just
William H. Macy was the Cooler, that movie The Cooler, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, this is nuts.
Yeah.
All right.
It really is.
Well, we'll obviously have a conversation about it tomorrow. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. You know what? Let's see if Jane is ready. We'll bring her out. We'll have her out here. And then on the back end of it, we'll tell you what Sean Payton had to say today, because that is some big news coming out of his mouth in terms of who the quarterback may be for the Denver Broncos. And then check on some other stories that might be cooking at the owners' meeting. So let's do that. When we take a break, we'll come back. Jane Lynch.
Right.
We'll find out who the weakest link here is on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't miss it.
Stinky game.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. With Indeed, everything hiring is all in one place, and it makes it so easy. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences each day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join the more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/podcast. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find it really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, all one big happy family. Jane Lynch is here. We just saw a clip from The Weakest Link. And I will just go out on a limb and say this. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Most dramatic lighting of anything you've ever done, right?
Oh, absolutely.
The way it goes down.
Exactly. The and the sound effect. Dun, 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 boom.
And it just sets the stage.
Yeah, doesn't it? We hear that while we're shooting.
You
too.
Do hear that.
That is piped through the speakers.
But the voiceovers of just explaining.
We don't hear the voiceover. That's in post.
That's in
post. Yes, which is a technical term.
They add it.
You may not be familiar with.
So much fun. Mm-hmm. This is so much fun. Looks
they
like you're having
it
a blast.
The end.
Yeah.
I haven't even met that young woman.
No, is that right?
No, I have not, but I love her voice. Kind of kind, but also...
The disembodied voice of the weakest link?
Exactly. Well, I think she does have a body, from what I understand. I just haven't met it.
They added in post.
They added
the body in post.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
This looks like you're having a blast doing this again,
huh? Oh, I am. I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, first of all, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's... I love trivia.
Mm-hmm.
And I love people, but at about an 8 feet distance, which is always nice. But I'm so impressed by these contestants, too, because, you know, the lights are on them. The clock is ticking and they are able to answer some of these like really weird, random questions.
Yes. And it's interesting because you have to set the stage of being somewhat
snarky,
but also
cruel to be kind.
Setting the stage for them to be uncomfortable, which I don't think is probably your default. Your default is not to make people uncomfortable.
I don't want people to be uncomfortable, but they know they get the drill.
They get the drill.
They
know
it's my shtick.
Yeah. Well, because I remember when I first met you on the set of Hollywood Game Night.
Yes.
You were making everybody feel. The opposite of making everyone feel just comfortable
Flying
and
them
having
with alcohol,
having a good time. Well, you know what? There's a photograph. I took a selfie with Al Michaels, and look who's photobombing in the back right there.
Nice.
That's perfectly placed right there,
Jane. I love that Al Michaels. Remember he did a play-by-play of one of the rounds. It was such a treat.
Yes, that was a blast. That was extra, right?
Yeah, that was extra.
Free
of
charge from Al?
He did not charge us for that, which was
But it
wonderful.
Was just like, it was one of those things where I'm like, how cool is this? I have a selfie with Al Michaels. And then I looked at it later. I'm like, wait a minute, it's even better. I just widened in there.
Yeah, that is my way. Anytime I see a camera, I jump in there.
Well, it's available right here on the Roku portal on Peacock. The Weakest Link is also on NBC every single Tuesday night right here on The Rich Eisen Show. And we're going to get to our own version of The Weakest Link in a matter of moments. Which of your TV and film work do you get the most when you're walking around? People stop you.
You know what's so funny? The last 2 days, 2 and a Half Men.
Get out of here.
It's the weirdest thing. Yeah, because I don't get that so much because it's off the air, even though it's on every 5 minutes somewhere. But the last 2 days, about four people have come up to me and say, oh, I loved 2 and a Half Men.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that funny?
I would have guessed, you know, Glee.
I think Glee is probably the overwhelming number one.
But when I saw you before all of what we're talking about right now in our green room, I told you about Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
It's just spectacular.
Yeah.
And you were spectacular. In that.
Thank you.
Were you channeling anybody in particular?
A
is this character?
Bit, yeah. Well, when I did the comic, which I only did in the first season, the housewife from Queens, I was kind of a Phyllis Diller kind of a thing.
That's
Toadie Fields. I don't know if you remember Toadie Fields.
Okay.
And character, the actress, Sophie Lennon, was, do you remember Eleanor Parker?
No.
She was the Baroness in The Sound of Music.
Okay.
And I think that Sophie fancied herself that person, but deep down inside, she was very elegant and, you know, very elite. And I think deep down inside, Sophie was much more insecure. But that was kind of how, the character that she was playing.
Well, that was a nice twist and reveal, knowing your character as the comic. And then when, you know, Mrs. Maisel would visit you at your home in your manse, and suddenly it was something out of like Downton Abbey. Yeah. It was something wild. That was pretty cool.
And I remember I gave her a fur coat.
When you first saw her.
Yeah, I said, oh, it's cold out there. Here, take this. Take my fur coat. I don't need it.
No, and I do love that as well. What about, Best in Show. That was.
Oh, yes.
Did you have to go and like... hang around other dog people?
Oh, yeah. We did dog training. We did a little dog handler training. We went to a park in Beverly Hills, and it was John Michael Higgins, Catherine O'Hare, and me at this one, because we were the handlers of the dogs.
Yes.
And it was a woman teaching people how to handle their dogs for dog show. And so we were just, three students.
What happened?
Well, we did pretty well. But there was a small dog show that was happening right after it, and one of the handlers didn't show up, and John Michael Higgins handled a dog and won.
Come on.
Yes.
Are you serious?
First place, yeah. So, he took to it.
He had no experience.
He had no experience dog except handling. That little lesson.
Right.
And his dog won.
What does that mean about the craft of dog handling?
Well, I think John Michael Higgins is quite an exemplary person.
We'll go
he's
in that.
Good at everything he does because I think there is... I wasn't very good at it at first, but Michael just took
which
to it.
Which dog did he handle? Do you remember which dog he crushed it with?
I don't know what they were. I forget what dogs they were.
Your Pekingese?
Well, his dog in the show was the Shih Tzu.
The Shih Tzu, that's right.
Yeah.
Who was your dog in the movie?
I had Rhapsody in white, and she was this white standard poodle.
Did you actually get to take the dog home or anything that?
So
you
could try to... The owners of this, especially this particular dog,
yes.
I'd never met anybody like her. She was... so controlling about how I handled the dog. I couldn't even talk to the dog. I wasn't allowed to make eye contact with her until we were shooting, and then I was allowed to.
What do you mean you weren't allowed to make eye contact with the dog?
They treat these dogs like, you know, they're stars. I guess they are stars to them. And she kept showing me the awards that this dog had won. You know, I hope you know what dog you're handling there. She won this. She won that. She won that. Just really a strange, very strange woman.
Just in case you thought you were just handling
any old dog. Yeah.
This was a champion.
The right.
And you needed the Michael Jordan of dogs.
Yes. Well, according to her anyway.
Okay.
But when we were shooting that show, we didn't have to stop shooting for one bark. No, the dogs were so well trained.
More than the humans on the set?
The humans were barking all the time. We were like, God.
Fred Willard was barking the whole time.
Right. I'm sure he probably was. Wasn't he brilliant in that?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
In all of the films that he did with Christopher Guest.
Yeah.
I mean, all
he
of them. Waiting for Guffman
up,
and all that,
you
too.
Know. Yeah.
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 For sure.
Loaded
Jane Lynch
for
here.
Bear.
For sure. Jane Lynch here on the Rich Eisen Show. You got a good story maybe from The Legend of Ricky Bobby when you were first on the set or anything like that or anything?
God. You know what I remember most? I don't know if it's a good story so much, but
okay.
It was, there was a, you know, we had a script, but we improvised as well. And it was always the best joke wins. And it doesn't matter if Will said it or who said it. It was very ensemble oriented and just very relaxed. I mean, that's how Will Ferrell is, and that's how Adam McKay is. You know, it was very, it was a lot of fun. You didn't feel the pressure that we were making a major motion picture.
Did you remember any line that you
made up?
Yes.
Yes, I did. When the kids say they're on the road and I'm having them pick up trash, I'm trying to civilize them. He says, when are we going to stop doing this? I said, when are you going to stop throwing me the radio in the bathtub? Thank you. I think I had read somewhere that someone took the radio into the bathtub and electrocuted themselves.
And that's where that came from?
That's where that came from.
Now, did they tell you afterwards that's making the movie? Or you just...
No, but I was very happy to see it in there.
So funny. We had years ago for the movie Tenet, now the man who just collected all the Academy Awards, Christopher Nolan, the director on here. And I asked him what his favorite remote drop movie is, where you're just watching it, you drop the remote because it's just going to be... And The Fugitive. I told you the last time you were here, The Fugitive is one of that for me. And he mentioned... Talladega Nights
You're
is his
kidding.
Remote drop. I kid you not.
Oh, wow.
And then in his English accent, he goes, if you're not first, you're last. Like
oh
that.
My gosh.
And he totally both. We were just like, what? Like, are you kidding me? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's great.
So
he knows who I am?
No, I'm not. Well, I'm just saying, you know, you got a chance in this town is what I'm saying, Jane. But it was just so wild how you never know how many people are just like are watching Talladega Nights.
Yeah. If you ain't first, you're last.
There it is.
Oh, my gosh.
That was
that's
it.
Wonderful.
Nice, Mike. That's what an audio executive does.
That is high praise.
Yeah, right there.
Good job,
Jane's
Mike.
Jane's here. I got to step my game up.
All right, Jane Lynch. Let's do this. This being, we have come up with some questions for you to play your role of weakest link host.
Yes.
With the four of us right here.
Yes.
And I believe, we don't have, it's not going to be timed like the weakest link. And I don't believe we're banking anything. We're just going to try and answer questions.
You're competitive enough.
We are competitive
enough. You don't need any incentive.
Okay. And so you've got two questions, one for each of us. And I guess you'll start with me and we'll go around the room twice.
Mm-hmm.
After which we all have blank pieces of paper, which is not a metaphor for this show or us. But then we're going to write down who we think should be voted off the program.
Okay, let's do it.
Do we have audio executive Mike Del Tufo?
Music.
Now, you are very excited about this because you once worked the audio for the original Weakest Link?
With Ann Robinson.
The original Weakest Link with Ann, yeah.
Okay. Did you get to meet her?
Yes.
Did you like her?
I loved Ann.
Ann
was so funny. What I loved is the off-camera Ann.
Yeah.
Like, and you probably do a lot of that that doesn't make air.
Is she that stern?
Yes.
When she
got in the character and went up there, and I know you do the same thing, you become that person.
Yeah.
And you change. And it's amazing.
She was like steel.
Yes.
Did I also overhear prior to us taping this segment, you telling Jane what you got out of working for The Weakest Link?
Because I did so many episodes of The Weakest Link.
Yes.
We'd be there like 4 or 5 nights at NBC.
Yeah.
Like 4 or 5 days, I should say.
Yeah.
That I bought a house with Weakest Link.
Wow. In Weakest Link has not bought me a house.
Well.
Well done, Mike.
See, I'm looking at you, Kelly.
All right, so
I have music that's similar.
Okay.
The exact stuff.
Not the exact, but you know the feeling.
Okay, yes. Let's set the stage. Does that work? Does that work?
Oh,
is it too?
I like it
okay,
a
ready?
Lot.
Little loud. Not going to lie.
I'm low.
I can barely hear it, but you got that ear thing.
Okay, here we go. Little lower. Here we go. All right. Jane Lynch, we're going to do Weakest Link.
Yep.
We have no idea what these questions are. You have the floor.
I do. Thank you so much. Rich.
Yes, Jane.
What popular candy bar shares its name with the galaxy that includes our solar system?
Milky Way.
That is correct.
Milky Way.
Ding, ding, ding.
Chris. Thank you.
Right off the bat.
On what date did the Rich Eisen show debut?
Are we talking radio or television?
Oh, it's... Give one. Television. Television, I've been told.
October 6th, 2014.
Correct.
Chris Brockman.
I thought this was one that we were going to get.
There's no way Del Tufo would have gotten that.
No.
Okay,
all right, Mike, listen up. If you find a Cheeto, 3 pennies, and 2 quarters in your couch cushions, how much money do you have? Are you listening?
28 cents.
No, 2 quarters.
Oh.
53 cents.
There you go.
DJ. But at least the couch is in his new house, Jane.
Where's TJ?
TJ's over your right shoulder.
There you go. I can't see you, TJ, but here's your question. Okay, if I throw confetti and shout Feliz Cumpleaños, what am I wishing you?
You got to turn your microphone on, TJ.
Sorry, Jane.
You got your mic on, TJ?
A happy birthday.
That is correct.
All right.
I would not have done that.
And now we're going to Rich again. Including today, how many times has Jane Lynch appeared in studio as a guest on The Rich Eisen Show?
I will say 3 times.
That
is your
correct.
Third appearance
this is my third
here.
Time. I'm a 3-timer.
Not easy ones for Rich.
Do
not
I get a smoking jacket?
Excuse me.
Like,
excuse
you literally
me.
Had to add.
Mike,
I can't
it's the 10th year of this show. We've probably done it like 2,000 times. Come on.
All right, Chris.
Hi, Jane.
Oklahoma or Illinois, which is not a musical by Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Illinois.
You got it. My home state, though. All right, Mike.
I can't even wait for this.
What football coach guest hosted the Rich Eisen Show on November 2nd, 2018?
You guys got me with this one.
Yeah.
Can I give him a hint?
No. He's just going to kick himself when he gets this wrong.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Time's up. The correct answer is Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders.
Oh. Your boy, your best friend.
Your favorite guy.
Our last question goes to TJ.
Hi, Miss Jane. Oh.
Rich Eisen hosted one season of what reality competition series on TNT?
Oh, man. It was, what is the name of it? It was, like, took place in the prison. And.
Oh, my God.
And.
It's also the name of a movie.
Oh, Jailbreak.
No, close.
The Great Escape. All right, so you answered all of yours correctly.
Yes.
You got all of yours, Chris, and then Mike failed once, and so did TJ.
I think Mike failed twice.
Oh, Mike failed twice. All right, so who are we eliminating?
I mean, just put my name
Please
down
write
right
down
now.
Your answers on the blank sheet of paper. And starting with you, Rich Eisen, who is the weakest link in your opinion?
This is no question about it, certainly. Mike Del Tufo is out. Our audio executive is out.
Our audio executive is out.
Del Tufo?
Del Tufo.
Chris?
You?
Okay.
You're not allowed to vote for yourself, but we're going to allow it.
Let me see. Me?
Me.
It says, and Del Tufo.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Jane, floor is yours.
Mike Del Tufo, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Do I get parting gifts?
No, there's humiliation interviews.
That's the humiliation interview.
Dion was not a coach when he was here.
Excuse me, he's a coach now. A football
I know,
coach.
He wasn't when he was here.
Oh,
so that
is a distinction.
That was a trick.
Mike,
you know what? Standards and practices may say this might not work. They might have to go in the back and say that.
Also, you know,
a little trick question.
You know what was a trick? When Jane asked you how much money was in a couch cushion
Rich
and included
man.
A Cheeto, which has no actual
that's the only
value.
It's called a diversion.
It's not a species.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a diversion.
It's a, yeah, the Cheeto's a
it's
diversion.
It's to throw you off a little bit. Oh, and it obviously
you got
did.
Me.
Mission
I thought food immediately.
There you go. That's what happens when you're the weakest link.
Yep. Oh. See? All right.
Jane Lynch, what a pleasure to have you back here on the program again.
It's so Thank nice
you.
To be
Thanks
here.
Thanks for coming
again.
In. Anytime you want to stop by for anything.
It's kind of hard to get here, to be frank. It's a lot of 4:05 in the morning.
I know. You have no idea when it's raining outside and a guest comes here.
Do you live close?
I do not.
Oh, we were wondering why the hell you're out here.
Well, there's a whole story behind it. But we just love when you come here, regardless of all
here.
That stuff.
And I will come back.
And the best part about it is at this time of day, it's a reverse commute home.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. It should be pretty nice.
Although the last thing I should guarantee is the traffic pattern on 405.
I know. You just can't.
It's just like telling you, oh, you know, the Van Wyck, you'll just sail straight through it in New York City. Don't worry about it. The Weakest Link, new episodes kick off with the Days of Our Lives special.
Yeah. Oh, they're fantastic. You're going to love them.
And very dramatic, I imagine.
Oh, very. Yeah. Yeah. But they've got a great sense of humor about their silly selves.
That's Tuesday, April the 2nd, next week at 9 Eastern on NBC. And episodes air the next day on Peacock, which you can see right here on Roku. Great to see you, Jane Lynch.
Great to see you, too, everybody.
You bet. At Jane Lynch Official on Instagram and at Jane Marie Lynch on X, right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
Oh, my God. That was so funny.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Oh, my God.
Mike, I'm sorry, bro.
I'm sorry for myself.
I mean, two quarters is 50 and then 3 pennies is
I'm just glad you've toweled off, Mike, because
I was flopping.
You were flop sweating. Yeah. I think we
there was some sweat.
We know. Look at that.
Oh, gosh.
Look how shiny you were.
Now I'm cold.
As you're like, wait a minute. What football coach hosted the program?
He wasn't a coach when he hosted the show originally. So that is a trick question. Yes, it does.
Oh, Hoskins is blowing
100%. What do you mean?
That is a trick. You said football coach.
He is a football coach.
But at the time, he wasn't. I will argue this till the day I die.
If we
Though I couldn't add. Which,
Mike, at the time, he was the Jackson State coach.
No, he wasn't.
No, I don't think he was.
No, he wasn't.
What was the date in the question?
2018, right?
I don't know if he wasn't with Jackson State yet.
No.
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing.
The addition. I'm not horrible.
I
suck at math.
If we ask Deion Sanders, you get to term yourself. You get
oh,
to.
You're right. He wasn't.
How do you want to be identified?
Now,
right now,
Coach
in a question, on the Rich Eisen Show.
See, I was thinking at the
from
time
from Jane Lynch right
no
now.
No coach,
but right now on this day, which football coach? That means you don't consider Deion a football coach.
Today I do. He's a great football coach. And he's my friend.
The question wasn't
but
which football coach now wasn't a football coach when he hosted
trick
the show.
Question. Nope.
The trick question. Yeah. You know, it's also a trick saying
it's a trick question.
3 pennies, 2 quarters, and a Cheeto.
No, I'm not saying I'm horrible at math. Rich, I failed math many times.
This is completely BS. This is shame.
Oh, I just love the flop sweat. I love
I do. I flop sweat often.
Yeah, look at that right there. That's a look of a man going, oh, my goodness, God. I'm not going to get this.
No, because it was a trick question.
It was not a trick question. Good Lord. Yes. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Hey, everybody. It's our favorite part of the NFL owners meeting. I don't know why they decide to do this every year, but they do. It's been happening ever since the first owners meeting I covered in 2003 at the same spot, Breakers Hotel. It was 2004, actually. NFL Network launched in November of 2003. We covered our first owners meeting in 2004. We brought NFL Total Access there. The whole shooting match flew to Florida, and it was glorious.
Great food.
It was, by the way, what a great run we had in 2004. Our first Super Bowl and then our first Pro Bowl. We went from Houston to Hawaii, and then the next month we were at the owners meeting in Palm Beach, and we're like, this is the greatest thing ever. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And I had no idea. I learned then this was an annual tradition. And then starting a few years ago, as soon as we got our hands on this thing, we started breaking it down like it was the Zapruder film. And what we're talking about, it's the NFL coaches photo. It's like a class photo every year at the owners meeting. They get the coaches together. And some blow it off, to be honest with you, or they were too busy doing whatever they were doing at the time. There are five coaches missing. That means there's 27 of them in this photograph, and here they are.
Oh, we love it.
And it's great. I mean, it's in front of this beautiful-looking fountain and all these palm trees. It's a slate gray sky there in Florida. So for folks like Daboll, who was absolutely torched last year, and Saleh underneath the sun, this is nice that the cloud cover and by the way, all the follically challenged coaches getting a little bit of a break with the sunlight right there. There it is on the screen, and I'll describe it for everybody. There's a front row of coaches sitting in folding chairs, and then those standing behind. And there's different poses. Saleh likes the grasping the hands in front. And I believe that's Kevin O'Connell with hands behind the back. Does look like Kyle Shanahan's got hands in pockets. And I don't know what it is. I'm just glad they did not put McDermott and Antonio Pierce in front of the three guys on the end standing of Daboll and Quinn and Saleh, because if they'd done that, and I'm wondering if they did this on purpose, they would have put the ball guys all in one section on the end. And that would have been something that you and I would have had a problem with.
Big problem.
We would have had LD on this front right here.
Big problem.
But they balanced out the ball guys, three on the right. There's two on the left. Antonio Pierce standing up. And then there's McDermott sitting. They put the Harbaughs together. I'm wondering if that was on purpose.
Say, pick out the guys that look like brothers.
John and Jim.
I mean, they look exactly
right
like
next to each other. By the way, there they are.
Oh, look at that.
They look identical.
On the end, by the way, on the very end of the seating row on the left, they put Josh McDaniel. They put Mike McDaniel right next to Mike McDonald.
Yep.
These are two guys that they're interchangeable, right? So there's that. McDaniel next to McDonald. And I honestly thought for a split second, is this alphabetically ordered because you have the two Harbaughs together and you have
Right.
And then I realized they would have had McDermott there. They didn't. Separated by by two of the bros, right? LaFleur and McVay showing off the biceps.
Yeah. Guns.
Very nice.
I got to say, Dave Canales, good looking dude.
They forgot to tell the right side. They tell the right side coaches are just forgot to tell their faces to smile.
I'm glad Daboll put sunscreen on.
Dennis
or at least
Allen's,
he got, you know.
Dennis Allen, the only guy in the top right. I mean, those eight right there smiling.
Wearing a hat.
Look at Jonathan Gannon on the end there. He is
secretly jacked.
Pew,
like,
pew, pew. Yep. That's
like
the
low key.
That's the curls.
Shredded.
That's about it. I mean, that's it. That's what he does when he works on his body.
Dried mayo t-shirts.
Didn't
shirt memo.
Okay. What else we got here? Got?
Just Dan Campbell.
Andy Reid is
of
just
space.
The best, though.
Andy Reid. Let me ask this again. We once won our fantasy league.
We did.
Using the Andy Reid at the center. He's always in the middle. We called him a man spread centerpiece because of the legs. I'm just wondering, is the man spread getting wider with each passing championship?
It should.
Is that, you know?
Always with the Hawaiian shirt. Looks great. Kevin O'Connell is really tall.
How about Coach Callahan, by the way? Coach Callahan for the Titans. What's with the button short sleeve? What's with that?
That's who I think it's rolled up.
Is it? It's rolled up?
Yeah, I think it's rolled up.
Oh, is the only one? He's wearing a dress shirt, and so is O'Connell. By the way, those are very neat roll-ups.
So is Harbaugh. John's wearing a dress shirt, it looks like.
Very good.
Well, Dan Quinn's all class, sport jacket, only one.
Yeah, goodness. Is he really wearing a sport coat?
Oh, no, sorry, that's McDermott.
That's McDermott.
McDermott with the sport coat.
Okay, very good. No, well, that's our breakdown. And Dan Campbell just standing back there like he's security. Just like basically looming. Like, I'll come right after you. If this isn't the only photo, like if he's just standing back there, like, don't ask me to stand out here for another 30 seconds.
He's a big guy, man.
Who looks like they least want to be there? Because that's got to be a tie between Robert Saleh.
Saleh.
And I think Kyle
Shanahan.
Sure
he's happy to be there after what happened last season, right?
Saleh and Kyle Shanahan. I mean, Dan Quinn's looking like, nice. Jeez.
There he is.
Dan Quinn might have been in the new Roadhouse remake I just watched over the weekend.
Dan Quinn looking like seriously, Keith Jardine
Give me the three on the end there with Saleh all the way to Dable, if you won't mind zooming in. By the way, Don Bowie and Mike Hoskins are killing it there. Does that look like a bald-headed version of your bars to see how your cell phone reception is doing right there? Like if they had bald guys instead of bars on your phone to figure out your cell phone reception, would that be it right there?
That would be it.
Pretty good.
Dayball on the end.
Good.
Like I said, I just wonder if they gave
our
each other
coverage.
The bald nod when they
saw the ball nod. They nod at each other. Say, stand right there.
Well, they looked at Antonio Pierce. And
by the way,
you good?
I have been around both of these gents. Shane Steichen is a tall man. The fact that Kevin O'Connell is above him,
towering.
He's a big dude, man. And then they're the tallest ones there.
Yeah, I mean O'Connell's bigger than Dan Campbell.
Look at that.
Well, Pierce is kind of tall.
Yeah, Pierce is sneaky tall, too.
And the Harbaughs, of course, they're smiling because who's got it better than
them? They're just like, hey,
nobody.
Brothers coaching in the
NFL. But the bottom line is nobody man spreads quite like Andy Reid. He takes up that full chair and he's like, I'm going to put one leg here and I'm putting one leg there. And those are the two Lombardi trophies of the last 2 years I'm bringing with me right there. That's what I got.
You guys can fill in around me.
That's right.
Plus, he has seniority.
Look at Canales. He's just like, he's just stuffing himself in there. Fantastic.
Love it. This is so good.
New guy sit by Andy.
All right. That's our coverage of this very important NFL owners meeting moment.
Doug Peterson's where's ice cream?
Five guys who did not make this coach's photo.
Yeah, they are. Looking at that.
Mike Tomlin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nick Sirianni. Mike McCarthy. He's not saying cheese.
Oof.
All right. Matt Eberflus.
Oh, Eberflus.
Yeah, apparently Ryan Poles missed the general manager photograph too. Bears are doing work. Ryan this. Poles tomorrow. How come you're not taking pictures?
They're picking.
And then Sean Payton. He's not doing
it. Interesting.
He's too busy looking for his next quarterback, maybe. Earlier today we were talking about the quarterback scenario. In our Overreaction Monday segment, you gave me the supposition to either react to or overreact to of five quarterbacks in the first 15 picks. And I mentioned Bo Nix was the selection for the Broncos in Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft. At the moment, it's Jared Stidham in pole position because, he's the pole and the position. There's nobody there, right? Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's it.
So Coach Payton was asked about Jared Stidham today.
Relative to his vision, it's kind of exactly where we saw it a year ago. We felt like this is a player who can compete. We felt like he's got upside, a young player that's really played a limited amount of snaps relative to the years he's been in the league. Did anything change in those last two games leading to this season? I can't say, in fairness to him or the process, definitively that anything did, other than we still feel real positive about this player, and we're anxious to see him when he's getting a lot more snaps and work with the ones.
And it looks like he's going to get the snaps with the ones, because even if they go ahead and they draft a quarterback, right, you're figuring Stidham's going to get the snaps to get things ready. I mean, we're going to throw Bo Nix or Penix or J.J. McCarthy in week one? Maybe so.
Sorry, they also have Ben DiNucci.
My bad. Sorry.
On the official roster here. Ben
DiNucci. Mr. DiNucci. You can tell us all about Ben, right? Didn't he get that start when everybody else got hurt in Dallas?
You know, he had like a little week's worth of fame.
Well, this is why everybody figures they're going to have to trade up for one, because what, are they going to sit there at 12 and take somebody and maybe no one will be there? And then what's going to happen? Hit it.
I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is like what's on the receiving end. You know, I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona, right? So it's hard to predict what that cost is, and yet I certainly wouldn't say it's unrealistic. And we'll pay close attention to it.
He's talking about Monty Awesomefort, the general manager of Arizona, sitting there fourth overall. The problem for the Denver Broncos is when you're getting a rookie quarterback is twofold. One, they got so much dead cap money for Russ over the next 2 years, it blows apart the whole benefit of having a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal, because you're paying the quarterback position like a top-of-the-line veteran for the first 2 years. But you can just overlook that and say, screw that. That's just going to be the cost of doing business. We should get the quarterback if we want. And moving all the way up from 12 to 4 is going to be insanely expensive. How do we know that? Well, we just assume it. Plus, on top of it, he's wondering what the cost is. Minnesota's right there at 11. So why wouldn't Arizona, if they're moving down, move down as close to 4 as possible? And 11's is closer than 12. I can help you with that math, Mike. And
thanks, Rich.
And Minnesota just got a second first-round selection in a trade last week. So 2 ones might get you home from 11 to 4, and Denver's only got the one. I don't know if 4 is the spot. That'll be insanely expensive. They'd have to give up future considerations. And they just finally got their considerations back. I don't know what Denver's going to do. Straight up with you guys. Jared Stidham might be the best case scenario here. To move up to 4 to make sure you get one? Because New England might be willing to trade out of 3 too, but all the way down to 12? That's why at least, certainly not down to 11 either. That's not very enticing. Mm-mm. And the reason why Minnesota got that second first round draft choice is like, you know, maybe, you know, it's easier for you to consider moving down to 11 when we'll also flip you the draft choice we just got from the Houston Texans, sitting there at, let me get this number right, I think it's 23. Yes. 23. Which came from Cleveland. They're still reaping the benefits of trading away Deshaun Watson, by the way. Now Minnesota's got that one too. Maybe you'll consider moving down to 11 if you're it's 11 and 23, and maybe we'll flip you another draft day pick this year. Minnesota's in a better spot than Denver. Man, that is just not a very good position to be in. Or you stay put and you hope Penix or Bo Nix is your guy. Fall in love with one of them. Now, Sean Payton was not at the Michigan Pro Day for McCarthy, but he did stick around the next day and had a private with him for 4 to 5 hours.
Oh. But he's not going to He's not going
to
be there.
Well, to move up to 4, that's the guy you'd move up to 4 for.
Sure. I'm saying if he's
and then give up a ton of draft considerations and go, we just finally got draft considerations back, but we're going all in on this kid. Those are the options for the Denver Broncos right now. Great show with Jane Lynch and Tom Pelissero. Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Bears. DJ Burns Jr. will be on tomorrow's program from NC State. And so much more. We'll tell you what else we're cooking for Tuesday when we come back on Roku. Otherwise, we'll chat tomorrow.
Movies, TV shows, books, podcasts, and more. It's What Women Binge with Melissa Joan Hart and her friend Amanda Lee.
We have Lauren Bosworth with us.
Yay!
The Hills. So what is like your number one question from fans?
The primary question I still get asked was, "What is it real?" In 2024, to me, is a surprising question to get because I feel like everybody has been through the reality TV gauntlet at this point.
What Women Binge, wherever you listen.